from the New Testament again, from Book of Philippians, chapter 2, we'll be looking at this particular text. If it is the Lord's will, we will look at two times this week and next week. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, that is our text today. Before reading the text, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us your holy words that we can understand your plan of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. This time of the season, we remember your grace and mercy that you have shown to us through Jesus Christ. So we want to learn about you again. We want to remember of your grace again. Would you please speak to us? Also, would you please bless me as I'm going to unfold your story from the Bible so that we will both, the congregation members, and I will be in your presence. We will experience your love and peace at this moment. Thank you so much for your presence with us. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. The page number from the Pew Bibles is 1248 from the Pew Bibles. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility and count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. We've been looking at the book of Philippians for 3 weeks already, and from our study, we know some of information about Philippian church. We already know that the Philippian church was a good church. It's a good church. And based on Paul's description, the church has many good and excellent qualities and potentials that we could learn from them. Especially the Philippian church was a mission-minded church. Now, Paul said in chapter 1 and verse 5, your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So from his expression, we know that the church was a very mission-minded church. Paul also expressed his appreciation for their support and prayer. And in chapter 4, we didn't look at it yet, in chapter 4 and 15, Paul says, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, which is they became Christians, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me. That is really striking information we know. No church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. So we could know that Philippian church was very supportive and mission-minded church. Partnership in the gospel, that is a powerful phrase that we can remember. That is something that we need to learn from the Philippian church as a contemporary church. We are partners for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul even said in chapter 4 and verse 1 about the church, my brothers, beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. I like this passage. It will be a great honor for a pastor or a missionary to call his relationship with the church like my joy and my crown. Think about that. By listening to Paul's words and his explanation, we may think that the Philippian church was a kind of perfect church. No problem at all and no struggle. We don't know yet. But it's mission-minded church, mission-driven. They try to support Paul's missionary work. And it's a healthy church. Paul likes to talking about the Philippian church a lot here. However, it wasn't the case. It's not a perfect church. Although the Philippian church has, we can say, had many excellent qualities and potentials, things that we can learn from that, they had some serious challenges, both inside and outside, that we're going to look at today. Now, we know that a leader from a Philippian church, his name is Epaphroditus, one of church leaders from a Philippian church, came to Rome to find out where Paul was, not only to support Paul's ministry, but also and asking his wisdom and guidance for Philippian church. And we don't know what exactly Epaphroditus said to Paul, but this is what Paul said to them when he wrote this letter. In chapter 1 and verse 27, Paul said to the Philippian church, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ," very simple here, "so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." So from these words, we know what happened in the Philippian church. Paul keeps saying in verse 28, "not frightened in anything." So something is happening in the church by your opponents. And 29, verse 1, 29, chapter 1, 29 says, "For the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." They were actually suffering. From Paul's words in chapter 1, verse 27 through 29, we see that the Philippian church faced some difficult, maybe serious challenges, both internally and externally. Now, externally, they were persecuted by non-believers from their society. They were also attacked by some Jewish Christians. Jewish Christians brought false teachings to the Philippian Christians. They were talking about salvation differently. Paul is actually talking about them in chapter 3. We'll be looking at them internally. We will be looking at them later. But internally, the Philippian Christians felt lost. There was a lack of leadership and frightened. When Paul was with them, it was obvious that they didn't have to worry about things like false teaching, leadership, and division. But it's happening right now because of Paul was not there. Not anymore. With many outside challenges, the Philippian Christians and church was slowly dividing into many sectors. They have different opinions and thoughts and leadership styles. That's why Paul said in chapter 1, "Stand firm, one spirit, with one mind." In the middle of suffering, in the middle of persecution, nothing but stand in firm in spirit, and with one mind, content as one man. And then standing firm in one spirit and one mind for what? Paul clearly says, for the faith of the gospel. In other words, brothers and sisters, I know what's happening to you, but be united in Christ. Be united in Christ for the gospel. That is what Paul said to them. Now, Paul's teaching goes more deeper in chapter 2, which is our text today. He explains why and maybe reasons why the Philippian Christians, they needed some unity in Christ. Here in verse 1 says, "So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy." It's a one verse and it has a lot in there. Paul begins with the word "so." We know that that means "therefore" in Greek, which means related to the previous verses, which is chapter 1, verse 27 and 9. Basically, Paul is talking about here reasons or elements or some foundations for unity in Christ. I thought about Paul is right now building a building and setting up the foundation that Jesus Christ and the pillars, four different pillars before setting up all the roof and everything. And I understand the way. So I wish you can understand that way too. First one is Paul is talking about verse 1. Chapter 2 verse 1 is encouragement. First element is encouragement. The word encouragement in Greek means help and comfort. Now, Paul is talking about not just encouraging or helping one another. He added here two words after that, the word encouragement. He says, encouragement in Christ. Now, here we read Paul's mind again. Paul wanted to remind the Philippian Christians of the encouragement that they had received from the good news from the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is in Christ. They didn't know God and God's grace before. They didn't know God's love before. No idea about God's love at all. They didn't know God's salvation plan. They didn't know what's happening to them. They didn't know anything about the good news. But now they know, all of them. Jesus Christ was their encouragement, their only encouragement. Paul brought the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through Paul's explanation, they came to know Jesus Christ. That was their encouragement. They were Gentiles like us, outside of God's love and grace. But not anymore. Jesus broke the chain. And Jesus came to the world not only for the Jews, for the Gentiles, and for all the people, even for us. That is encouragement. Because of their faith in Christ, they had received God's grace and love, His amazing love and grace. Now here Paul gave them the most powerful reason to be united, not based on their experiences, not based on their knowledge or thoughts, but based on encouragement in Christ they already experienced or received. They became the children of God. Therefore, whether they were rich people or poor, whether they were masters or slaves, they were all equal in God's eyes. They were the children of God. That is the encouragement they received from Jesus Christ. Paul is talking about that. The second element is love. The same verse in chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, any comfort from love. I was reading a commentary, a couple of them, in Gordon Fee, a New Testament scholar, understands that Paul is here talking about God's love. In this particular phrase, we don't have God's love in Greek here, but understand that this is God's love. So based on God's love, Paul is reminding the Philippian Christians, you are the one who received God's love. There is no more condemnation because Christ died for them. Based on God's love in Christ, they are called to be the children of God. They're brought to God's people, near to God. So basically, Paul said to the Philippians like this way, brothers and sisters, you are the ones who have received and experienced God's love. God showed His love in and through Jesus Christ. The Philippian Christians were the recipients of God's love in Christ. That is comfort. Surely comforts us too, God's love in Christ. We were the recipients of His love, and we feel we belong to Christ based on the Heidelberg Catechism number 1. We belong to Christ. That is our comfort. The third element Paul is talking about is a fellowship. The ESV reads, participation in the Spirit. And the NIV reads, fellowship with the Spirit. And the Greek text, the Greek word for Paul used here is fellowship. So it can be translated both participation or fellowship. I like to talk about it. Fellowship is much better. The core meaning is fellowship here. Now we see that Paul is talking about relationship between here and between their brothers and sisters in the church. It's not just relationship they started. They want to build a church there or they want to become a Christian. Not they started, but relationship with the Holy Spirit. Relationship that Holy Spirit started in their hearts. They became the body of Jesus Christ, not based on their own decision or thoughts, but it was the work of the Holy Spirit. The faith community that they built in the city of Philippi was not their work, but is the work of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So Paul is inviting them to that relationship with the Holy Spirit, fellowship in the Holy Spirit. And we have to think about that too. The fourth element is, it has two words, affection and sympathy, which was not easy to understand. The word affection means a deep affection here. It can be understood as a pity or mercy or compassion in English. Now here, although Paul used the two words, we understand these two words as one. Paul used these two words to emphasize his teaching about God's compassion. So we can understand these two words as like a heartfelt sympathy from God or Jesus Christ, which is deep, deep affection toward God's people. So Paul is now reminding the Philippian Christians of God's deep affection and saying that, brothers and sisters, do you remember God's deep affection in Christ? You are the ones who received that, who experienced that. Therefore, Paul is requiring them, unity is must be brought to their attention. Unity is a good word, we know that. Unity in Christ is awesome. Unity in Christ is what we always wanted to achieve as God's people, as a church, even as Christians. In Paul's mind, the unity of church is one of the most important characteristics for the followers of Jesus Christ. Throughout Paul's writings, Paul continually says and emphasizes the necessity of the oneness, unity in Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are one. Ephesians 4, 3-5, Paul says, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. Do you think that's Paul's idea? Paul brought this idea, oneness and unity. Based on John chapter 17, verse 20 and 22, it came from Jesus Christ. It says, that's Jesus' prayer. Jesus prayed like, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Verse 21, they may all be one. And in verse 22, he prayed that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 23, in I them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. And Jesus says, and so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Based on Jesus' teaching and his prayer in John chapter 17, we are one because we are God's children. We are called to be one. We are called to be united in Christ. And interestingly, Jesus said that the world and each people will know God and will know Jesus Christ, will glorify God by looking at us through our oneness in Christ. So think about that. We're not happy when we see church's division. Even people outside, non-Christians, they will say something. As brothers and sisters in the Lord, it is necessary for you and me to continually uphold our oneness in Christ. That is not easy, we know that. In whatever circumstances, even in the middle of suffering, in the middle of persecution, we have to remember that. That's why Paul boldly said to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 27, standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. But as I mentioned that, we know that oneness or unity as a church in Christ is not an easy task. Why? Because we are all different. We think differently. We act differently. We do things differently. I don't like fishing, but some of you like fishing. We understand differently. It's interesting to sitting, looking at a Sunday school, Alan teaching. We think differently. We understand differently. Depending on our experiences, our cultures. I want to bring kimchi every Sunday for our refreshment. Most Korean churches do, but I don't think you could survive kimchi smell. It tastes good. Pastor Perry likes it, I know it, but it stings. What about the Philippian church? Although they became Christians, we know the story, it was not easy for them to be united in Christ. Think about that. Because of their differences, different social status, different history they had, different backgrounds, and different lifestyles. Remember, the Philippian church was established by Paul's gospel in Jesus Christ with many Gentiles, Gentile ladies, a rich in business Gentile woman, Lydia. Many women from the Riverside prayer group meeting. Those were Gentile ladies. A jailer and his family. And possibly a demon-possessed girl that Paul met, who was a slave. They were socially, culturally, and philosophically different. How could you be united with all these different group of people? Can you? Can we? Tactically, it was not a good idea, or it was not a good combination to start a church with all different group of people. It wasn't easy for them to be united. Paul knew the one thing. Well, no one can be united with no one because they were all different. But everyone can be united with one thing, that is Christ. We cannot be united with something. No, But Paul knew one thing. Everybody, everyone can be united in Christ, with Christ. Paul did not ask them to be united with someone else, leaders of church, or someone's experience. But he boldly saying to the church that you have to be united with Christ, only in Christ. I know that different backgrounds you have, social status you have, different lifestyles didn't matter before Christ. Because Christ brings all of you to God. And that is what we need, unity in Christ. What they really needed was not a unity in something, but unity in Christ. That's why he said in chapter 1 and verse 5, 2 and verse 5, have this mind among yourselves which is yours in Christ. Only Christ is the answer. You know the old saying, united we stand and divided we fall. This saying is applicable in our church today. Even many Christians are the churches in today. In the battlefield, you know, during the Second World War, the Russian commanders ordered their soldiers not to give up any more ground. And any soldier who fled from the Germans was shot on the spot. The Russian commanders knew one thing. They knew that even a couple of soldiers fled their post, the Germans would have an opening through which they could pour into the city. I read this article and thought about that. Likewise, when a church is divided, Satan finds it so much easier to attack and conquer. We are different. We think differently and we act differently. But we know one thing. Jesus died for all of us. And that's why we became God's precious children, because of our faith in Christ. As Paul said, we are the one we receive the full measure of God's encouragement in Christ. And every day, we experience a full measure of God's love every day. Even we have the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And God pours His immeasurable compassion, deep affection toward us every day. So we are the one who have all of this. We share all these things together. Now Paul is saying that, therefore, don't say that we cannot be united. No, we should be. We can be united. We had a wonderful council meeting past week, Thursday night. 8, possibly 9 people will join, and joined even, and became the members of New Hope Christian from church. It was my honor to see that encouragement in Christ in their lives. God's love in their lives. And even fellowship of the Holy Spirit in that particular meeting, in Thursday night meeting. I'm not talking about our professing members only, but I see that all these things are happening in our church. All regular Sunday attenders coming to our church, doing your part of this church, serving the Lord. Big concept. We are God's children. We are all different. We are all different. But we have more than enough reasons to be one and to be united in Christ. I am your brother. I am your brother in Christ. And you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love to call Pastor Perry as my teacher and mentor. But this is awesome text. I was looking at this. Yeah, I'm going to call Pastor Perry, Brother Perry. That is what Paul is bringing to us. We are God's people. Therefore,
we need to be united. We are the family of God in Christ. I'm going to talk about next week another text, which is verse 2, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, and the rest of them. But I'd like to conclude my message today with reading verse 3 and 4. Paul says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." Did you hear what Paul is trying to say? No selfish ambition, but humility. Not me, not my self-interest. But here Paul is saying the community. Community, which is a church. Others means community, God's people. It's not that someone is better than I am. It's not that way. We care for them. We care our brothers and sisters. We love them. We want to be united with them in Christ. That's what Paul is trying to say. Community. The interest of others. Brothers and sisters, we need to be united in Christ. And we have to remember that we can do that because we have Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Paul's teaching, his words to the Philippian church. We cannot imagine that a church became one in Christ because they were all different people. But we're looking at our church too. We are different. Sometimes we don't understand why people are thinking that way, acting that way. But Paul is reminding us of one thing, Jesus Christ. Encouragement in Christ and God's love and fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We have that. We have experienced that. Therefore, Lord, would you please help us to look at our brothers and sisters first, but look at our church first, not our own interest, so that we will truly experience oneness, the unity in Christ at our church. We pray your Son in Jesus' name.